It's time for the NBA Finals, folks. We are, if you're listening to this as it drops, a day away from the Miami Heat and the Denver Nuggets squaring off for the 2023 NBA Championship, which would be the product of the wildest, craziest NBA playoffs ever. And if this Finals is not to that level of insanity, drama, craziness, then it would be such a letdown. I'm 100% confident, though, that with Jokic playing like a basketball Avenger and with Jimmy Butler and the Miami Heat being this miracle machine of wins, then we're in for a great show. There's a few days in between each finals game that allows us some time to overreact to each game. We'll be doing that here on the podcast feed, so we'll be bringing in some old guests, some new guests. You never know who's going to roll around and overreact about games 1, 2, 3, 4 and asterisks 5, 6, 7 of this year's finals. This preview is presented and made possible by our friends from Slam Philippines and Titan. We continue to celebrate what is the basketball shoe of the year, the LeBron 20 with Titan. Listen to this pod, follow Slam Online PH, follow Titan underscore 22 to find out how you can, as always, win a pair of the LeBron 20s by just listening and supporting to the Call to Arms podcast. That's how we do. We hook you guys up. We appreciate all the support. The pod is, as always, produced and made possible by the amigo, Toby from HR. Original art is by Alan Martin. Original theme music is Tropical Vikings by Careless Music Manila. My name is Nico Ramos, and this is a Call to Arms podcast. Let's go.
Something going on around the islands. Money flowing wherever I've been promised. Just another Viking in the tropics. Taking over, trying to stop this novice. Make it killing, I'm finna conquer. I'm a dreamer, the floor is lava. Something going on around the islands. Straight fire when we vibing.
My big little sister, my little big sister. She's on the show. I'm so happy. I'm so happy. Cassidy Hubbard is joining us from
Reunited. I'm not going to sing. I don't want to do that to your.
You should.
Your
New
listeners.
York City? New York City? Is that where in the world you are right now?
Ms. Hubbard? I am in New York City. Hey.
And our boys in the finals.
That's it. Filipino Jackson. I want to believe that because, you know, he doesn't give a lot of interviews. And because he gave us that interview for Hoops Paradise, download it wherever you get your podcast.
Hey, it's everywhere.
This is why they're in the finals again. That's all I'm saying.
I mean,
I'm not going to say we're the reason, but
I would. hey, Pat, Mr. Riley, you're welcome. Hey, Jimmy.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Punching a ticket during AAPI month at that, like.
Hey, Mickey Arison, you're welcome. Hey, I
you're welcome.
I just want Butler.
You're welcome.
Alonzo
Mourning. By the way,
looking great in a suit, Zoe. You're welcome.
By the way, Jimmy may be their number one star, and this is no disrespect to Bam and everyone coming for Bam after Game 7 because he couldn't make multiple layups. He's still a great player, but the number two star in Miami Heat is Eric Spoelstra.
Yes. All due respect to someone who's apparently a snub on the NBA All 75 team, Caleb Martin. Yeah, all due respect to him. Yeah, no. Eric Spoelstra is the number two guy on that Heat team, the number one guy in our hearts, in our programs.
Right.
If you're listening to this and there's a good chance you're from the Philippines, then then you're happy as well. If you're listening to this and you have no affiliation with the Philippines and you're like, are these two Filipinos just gloating about the Filipino who's coaching?
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are. Yeah. Tune out right now. But this is our little finals preview. And I think that you have much more experience than me, obviously, and you're much more tapped into all the stories and all of the machinations in and outside the league, everything that the players, the teams are going through, how their fan bases are talking and conversing about their teams. So maybe you can correct me if this isn't an accurate statement, but is this like just the most insane like playoffs we've had like in decades.
Just it's like been pretty crazy. I mean, decades? I think it's been a crazy season just sure. in general. So, I mean, parody is alive and well, right? I mean, the Heat were 3 minutes away of being bounced in the play-in. They lost their first play-in game yeah. to the Hawks. And they,
the Bulls,
you know,
the Bulls, by the way, who correct. Like, that's when what was I'm the saying. Last 3 minutes time anyone away. Said
they were trailing
Chicago
with three
Bulls.
Minutes to go. Don't even get, let's, this is not what this conversation is about.
Sorry, Bulls. Chicago native.
You know, let's just keep them where they, that they, where they belong and where they've been for so long, which is forgettable.
They,
so,
however, were the closest team to eliminating the Heat this year.
And if they could have just flown out DR DeRozan, where would we be now?
Imagine
where
if she didn't have school.
Where would we be now? Yeah, it was crazy, you know, and just to think about like the path of both these teams. So the Nuggets were the number one team since December, been dominant. They even took off like the final month and still were.
Jokic was like, I'm not interested in stat padding for the MVP. Joel, you can have it.
Right. I've been there, done that twice. But basically their path, they played all play-in teams essentially. Whereas the Heat took down like, you know, top four teams outside the top five teams. And then they were a play-in team. So obviously it's not, like on paper, it kind of feels like David versus Goliath. And maybe it'll end up being that way. But, you know, it's going to be interesting. It's hard over like just consistency. And we'll see what the Heat have left in the tank. I don't know what answers they're going to throw at Jokic, who has been insane. Obviously we can all have revisionist history and, you know, with Joel out of the playoffs now, people want to be like, oh no, it's Jokic who should have won MVP. But, you know, like it was a close race because it was a close race for a regular season award. But Jokic has been insane this postseason. I mean, he's entering, averaging a triple-double. So I just don't know what answers the Heat are going to have. But if there's anyone who could figure it out, full circle, it's Eric Spoelstra.
It's our boy. It's our boy, Spo. I think all stats and logic and numbers and basic and advanced math point towards the Nuggets winning this final series. However, I think all logic, stats, basic and advanced math also pointed towards the
we
Miami
said that versus
Heat
the Bucks. Yep.
Not being here in the finals. So I'm resigned to not having a clue how this finals is going to go. I'm not even going to bother trying to make a prediction. We'll talk more Heat. We'll talk more Nuggets in a second, but we weren't talking a lot of playoffs on this podcast, mostly because I just really wanted to sit back and just kind of enjoy it on a day-to-day basis, just the wildness of it all from the Lakers patching together a different team at the trade deadline, and then for a split second there, had people going like, are they gonna win this?
Shout out to the Lakers. Like, I know people want to jump on LeBron for whatever reason, but that man played every single minute in that game four at 38 years old, and I'm gonna be struggling through this podcast just sitting down at 38 years old. So like, they figured it out. Rob Pelinka, you know, put together a team after putting together a mess. So, you know, they got to the Western Conference Finals. That was quite a roller coaster, though, of like emotions with Anthony Davis, and also with LeBron James. Like, you saw like for the first time that he was like aging, and that's okay. But he's still LeBron James.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, only scoring 40 in Game Four.
Oh, right, and playing every single minute.
Yeah,
like, oh, that's all he had to do. You know, it's like. That was interesting, and then the ratings showed it. Like, people are still interested in LeBron and the Lakers. People are still interested in the Warriors. I mean, those ratings were insane because of the fan bases are so big. So even though we're ending
the
up
Filipino
with two,
civil war,
Yes, exactly.
I mean, it was tough being in Manila. I mean, Cassidy, I know that you were front and center. I know that you were on the bench's sideline doing the dugout walk. By the way, remind me to go back to the dugout walk. I have very specific questions to the tunnel walk that you do on TV with NBA head coaches and how there's, first of all, we'll get back to that because I have so many questions. But I know that you were there. You were plugged in. You were live in person, but you were not in these streets for Lakers Warriors, not in these Manila streets, man.
Really? You didn't know, crazy?
You didn't know who was on your side. You didn't know who were family members still. You didn't know friendships were tested.
Yeah.
Marriages were tested. It was hard.
I didn't know it was like that. I didn't even put that together. The Filipino Civil War.
Daily City.
Where did the Heat fall in this? There's no like allegiance to Spo?
Now we all just converge towards Spo because right. Everyone's just like, right. All right, okay, yeah, Spo unites us all. But yeah, no, it was a very, very interesting time here in the Philippines for Warriors, Lakers. So yeah, I wanted to ask you, of the teams, I guess, that are not going to be in the finals, was there a specific story, a specific... you know, I guess, thread that you really enjoyed pulling on in ESPN's very extensive coverage of the playoffs leading up to what is now the final starting in, by the time you're listening to this, tomorrow?
You know, I was on... See, it's so strange because, like, I mostly was on the East this year, but, like, I didn't have that many Heat games, and the Heat games I had, they got blown out because their offense was anemic. It was just so bad during the regular season. And so for them to have figured this out and found their magic, just, you know, in the right time is such a big storyline for them, which with the Celtics, it was kind of like the opposite. You know, I did a lot of Celtics games this year, and you could just like, it was tough. Like what happened with Ime right before training camp almost like bonded them together, and they came out of the gates just, you know, hot. And then you could slowly start to see things like fracture among the team. Like they were still a team, but they started to like be their own little cliques. Mm. And so it like, yeah, I mean, I think they were just working through some things because there was a lot of expectations, you know, like, people pretty much like crowned them, you know, mid-season that they were the team to beat, and they still had a rookie head coach who I think is fantastic, by the way, for him to get, you know, like a big portion of the blame, I think would be short-sighted. You know, he was put in a really tough situation. He was learning on the fly, and he still got to the Eastern Conference Finals to a game 7. And I think he has something special, and he's 34 years old. So, I think that would be a really tough situation for them to walk away from him, if that's something that they're even considering, which I don't know if it is. So, you know, with the Celtics, I think it was just hard to maintain. Mm. You know, it was hard to maintain. And I think maybe we could be having a completely different discussion if Jason Tatum didn't, you know, twist his ankle on the first play of that game, because he is their superstar. And they just kind of from that point on, they just lost all like momentum, and their head was just taken out of it. And I think their ability to lose their head quickly, I think, is also at the heart of, you know, why they've been eliminated. So I think I say all that, like when you ask me what's my favorite storyline heading into it, feels like 9 years ago since the Sixers were still in it. But I had, you know, I was with the Sixers a lot, and I felt like something was special with that team. And I think they did too. And it was tough. They were like a band of misfits, you know, like James Harden and and Joel like finally getting that MVP, and it was such an emotional week for him, and obviously, you know, accepting the award with his son running up to him and crying, and like it was just, there was so much going on. It was, and he was talking about like, oh, like I am appreciative of this moment, but I wonder if the timing could have been different, you know, because they let those games slip, you know, early in that series. So games two and three. So I think there was just a lot of storylines outside of the Heat Nuggets, like of all the other teams. We're talking about the Lakers. We're talking about the Warriors. We're talking about the Sixers. We're talking about the Celtics. And now we're all talking about like what's going to happen to all those teams. You know, Nick Nurse is now head coach for with Philadelphia. Like Bob Myers leaving the Warriors. Like, is LeBron retiring? So all these teams are having to like have big decisions in the summer. And you know, we weren't really talking about, and I know I'm saying this, even the Nuggets, who are the number one team in the West, and they're the last guy standing. So how much, you know, how important is it to not have distractions? Even though the Heat were struggling this year and found themselves dealing with a lot of injuries, they still just weren't front of mind. Even after being a one seed last year, making the Eastern Conference Finals, being as consistent as they are, like they weren't top of mind because of all the other drama. And here they are, the last two teams standing.
It's kind of crazy though, right? That the teams that are consistently good, because these two teams, these two franchises have been consistently good over the last few years, the teams that have very little to no drama at all these last few years, they're reaping the benefits of that consistency, that continuity, and that lack of drama, you know, apart from playing very good basketball. But I guess the trade-off is, and if you ask Michael Malone, is like, why aren't people talking about us? And yeah. Coach Malone, we will talk about you in just a second, but you know, myself and Cassie, we haven't caught up in quite a while. So there's a lot of things that happened since the last time we were podcasting. So forgive us if we just want to look back at just an insane. The word used is perfect. Insane playoff run. You know, every game was a must watch. Every game, every matchup, every series was so compelling. Congrats to the NBA. I'm not so much of a ratings guy, but like the draft lottery, I feel, was like the most talked about, most watched draft lottery in the history of ping pong balls. Like, I don't know who the world's best ping pong player is, but I'll tell you right now, his matches were not watched the way that the ping pong balls at the draft lottery was watched. So there's a lot of things going
thanks
on
to Victor Wembanyama.
Yeah, for non-Denver and non-Miami teams all around the league, which sets us up for a very, very intriguing NBA Finals, right? I think multiple things can be true at the same time, right? I think that the interest level for all these other teams can be super high, and yet at the same time, people can still also, and they will be very much excited once these finals start, because as you said, Jokic has proven to be unstoppable, like just a literal cheat code. And Eric Spoelstra is a miracle factory in the form of a basketball coach who is just zone defending his way to another NBA Finals despite all of the odds. So I want to touch up a little bit on, as you said, the coverage that you've put in all year. And before I forget, I really want to talk about the tunnel walk. That to me looks like top three most challenging things I see in basketball. Basketball. But why do they? These are giant arenas. These arenas are massive. I've been to some of them. I haven't been to as many of them as you have. I've been to some of them. These things are massive. Why is it the narrowest hallway in the world that you have to walk and talk with an NBA head coach who most of the time doesn't look excited to have to walk and talk in the middle of the game? And I understand them, right? But they're most of them are being game and being good sports about it, right? But why is it so narrow? Why does it feel like you're millimeters off of, it's like the F1 race in Monaco. Just, I feel like you are an inch away from bumping something with your elbow or your shoulder.
And then, but with Chris Paul, I hit the wall like 5 times. Because they're like, as big as the hallways are, the like tunnels to go into onto the court are narrow.
And I don't understand it.
And so I had to do this like maneuver where I'm in front of him. I'm holding him like the camera guys. I'm telling you, the camera guys and the lighting guys, and then all these cameras, they're on wire.
Right. Yes.
So they have a wire guy. So like the coordination.
All of them are walking backwards.
Everyone's walking backwards. So you got to have a guy who's telling the guy who's holding the wire, who's telling the guy who's holding the light, who's telling the guy who's holding the camera, like, watch out for this, like, basketball that's, like, coming so you don't fall and it becomes, like, a viral moment. But, you know, and then the timing of it all, of, like, getting him as we are walking out of the locker room, because you don't want to waste their time, because, you know, the NBA tried a lot of new things this year. I don't know if like the casual viewer picked up on that. It went from just doing the coaches interviews to, you know, out of halftime, you know, into halftime with players, you know, walking and talking to your point. And so like we're trying to give fans more access and a variety, given how some of the coaches' interviews were getting stale. And so we were trying a lot of new things, but at the same time, like, you know, players aren't used to it. And so when they agree to it, you want to make sure you're ready. So the Chris Paul one was interesting. You know, like I did run into the wall a lot, and then you have to figure out the timing. Do I have time to ask another question, or I need to let him go to go warm up? Taylor Jenkins, he just walks really fast. Just like
I saw that one. I was like, whoa.
But he was great because he gave me great energy, even though they were down, I don't even know, 15 at the half.
But I wanted to run through a wall for him. I was like, he's psyched to coach. Like, this guy wants to get back out there.
I mean, have you ever listened to a Taylor Jenkins like press conference? That guy talks 90,000 miles an hour. It's the fastest talker. When I'm in the coaches meeting trying to transcribe, like my hand is hurting so fast, like the fastest talker. Go back, watch, just go on YouTube and watch it. It is so fast. And so he walks the same speed as he talks. So that was, that's all I remember about that. Other than like, he, you know, he gave me good answers. Cause like it was dicey. He was down like 15 in an elimination game with all the drama swirling the Grizzlies. So I was like, I hope he's up for this. But usually the coaches prefer that at halftime over like into the fourth quarter.
Into the fourth, yeah.
Yes. So Doc does not like those.
So again, as I said, I have a lot of questions with this. I get unnecessarily nerdy on some of the broadcast things. When do you find out who it is you're going to walk and talk with? Because they're going to come out of halftime. I'm assuming you guys are just pre-recording this, right? You're not holding them off and timing them and saying, hey, we're on commercial. Wait 30 more seconds? So you just record it the way you do the player interviews and the coach interviews in between quarters, and then you just roll it back. But when do you find out who it is you're speaking to? Is it before the game?
Usually we try to nail it down, but like in the playoffs, for instance, when we were going to get someone going into the half, it's could be a minute before, or could be 15 seconds before, because it's a tie game, or I had a couple players just walk right past me and say they're not doing it and then I'm having to like adjust and find somebody else, which, because they're just not used to it, you know, they're not used to it on the national broadcast, so it was an adjustment this year. So the walk and talk, though, is more of like a coordinated and choreographed interview. You know, we pretty much like nail that down pre-game that's going to happen.
So Chris Paul knows before the game starts.
Chris Paul knew, halftime. Chris Paul, Taylor Jenkins knew. And like, it's just like it's a high, I mean, it's one of those things where it's like, is it it's high risk, but is it high reward? I think think some, like, I've gotten more people say they notice those interviews than the other interviews, like just on the baseline with like a Malcolm Brogdon or something. So maybe it is, until the day that I like trip and fall and bust my face on national television. So TBD, you know,
two points. One, I think it is extremely high reward. I think that just visually, when you come back from commercial and it's like, they're in a dark tunnel walking out, I get to see what like the back of the arena looks like.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like that's what an arena looks like. Like that's what the locker room path looks like. That's super cool. And then you're walking and talking.
Ronnie James was actually right next to me as we were doing the walk and talk with Taylor Jenkins.
Really?
So, yeah, but we obviously didn't get on camera.
Yeah, but two years from now, we'll do the walk and talk with Bronny. So I thought I really enjoyed it. I think that it was high level.
Thank you.
I thought it was like high level of difficulty. I was just like, how? Which brings me to point number two. I wish and pray that you don't trip and fall, but you are playing with fire, sister. You like,
I mean, on top of that, I'm in 4-inch heels.
That's what I was like, about to say, you know, next. I was like, because they're in sneakers and you're in heels, and there's a lot
I'm
of wires.
A spring
it's dark
chicken anymore.
So just
mold.
In the most literal sense, tread very lightly in those narrow in those narrow hallways, because
Dallas is the worst. Dallas has the tightest tunnel. It's made for one person.
That doesn't make sense. Everything's supposed to be bigger in Dallas.
Yes, exactly. You're right. Good point. I don't know. I do not know.
All right. Okay. Let's talk
that was
Nuggets.
Good. And that was Tunnel Talk, brought to you by Hoops Paradise, wherever you can get your podcast.
Wherever you can get your podcast. Shout out iHeartRadio. Waiting for season two. Hey, Spo wins the title, and he comes here because he's coming here in like August for the
which
World
by
Cup.
The way, I talked to him. He had not listened to the podcast yet, but he said on the way to the Philippines he's going to listen to it. But
Attaboy.
He felt awful when he saw me game one versus the Knicks, because that was the last time I had them. He was like, oh my gosh, I haven't listened to the podcast yet. I'm going to listen to the podcast. I said, listen to it on your way to the Philippines. He goes, perfect. That's what I'll do.
Yeah. And then the other guy, he'll be there at the airport waiting for you, like with a sign, and he'll drive you to wherever you want
to
go. Wait,
are you going to be, escorting any of the FIBA players?
Maybe they'll be on this
pod.
We're
putting it out there.
Maybe they'll be on this pod. Hoops Paradise season two post championship. Eric Spoelstra visits his home country for the first time since winning his third NBA championship.
Just saying,
for the FIBA World Cup. Isn't like that's perfect.
Grace, Peter, are you listening?
That's perfect. Walk and talk at the Mall of Asia Arena in Pasay City with Cassidy Hubbard. okay, let's talk Nuggets, let's talk Heat. If you guys are looking for high level statistics, find another pod. What we really want to talk about are the important things. First of all, is it true that if you call Michael Malone Mike Malone, which is what we were calling him the first X number of years of his career, that he will just stop everything and correct you and say it's Michael?
I mean, if when the day I'm looking back on my career, the tunnel walk will be in my, like, you know, my little,
that's
my,
a page in the
book.
Scrapbook.
Yeah. And page in the scrapbook. Michael Malone will definitely be there, because the amount of people who got, because Lisa Salters called him Mike and he didn't correct her.
Oh,
and, the amount of people who texted me was like, how dare he not correct Lisa after coming at you, because everybody called him Mike. He was known as
Mike. Everybody
called
him Mike.
He was known as Mike as an assistant. But you know what? His mama calls him Michael. We got to call him Michael. And that's what it came down to. That's what he said. My mom calls me Michael. You know,
he was a head coach, Mike Malone. And then
if he prefers Michael, look, if people started calling me Cassie, I would have a problem with it.
No, I'm not saying he's wrong. I'm just saying, like, when did it turn?
He profusely apologized after it. And, like, I adore Michael Malone. He's a very passionate, spicy character, okay? You know, put that in your pack and smoke it. Like, is that the saying he said? Whatever, something like that.
Maybe. I think so.
Yes, that's what he said. But he did. He apologized profusely afterwards. He called and texted after the game.
Okay.
I didn't need that. It was fine. He was just correcting me. It was a weird moment.
As a country, I'm calling out to the country. As a country, you can root for the Nuggets again now.
The thing is that I don't, like, you know, like I talked about Joe Mazzulla and just developing just a respect and admiration for him over the year. And I had a couple short interviews with him. Like he kind of had some like Popovich-y type interactions with reporters. But at the same time, I like that. Like, cause you're showing me you're frustrated. You're showing me your emotions. You know, I never found it disrespectful. You were just emoting. You know, you weren't mad at me. There's some times where some coaches can be disrespectful to, you know, the reporter. And some may have said, like, was it the time for him to correct me? No. But at the same time, now everybody knows he prefers Michael. You know, like now everyone knows. It will be stuck in his mind. Everybody's mind. So there we go. Michael Malone.
I'm calling out to the country. Since Coach Malone has texted and apologized to our very own, then it's okay to root for the Nuggets again. Except for this series, though, because he's going up against Filipino Jackson and the Miami Heat. What's one thing about, I guess, this Heat team, as you know, as you said, the times that you did have them earlier in the season, they were getting blown out, right? Their offense was so stale. They really looked like a shell of their one seed selves. It doesn't matter because they're back in the finals. But what's one thing about this Heat team that maybe people aren't really that, you know, tuned in on, right? We throw Heat culture around all the time. And I think it's much more than Pat Riley just throwing the rings on the table at free agent meetings or the body fat tests, right? Or, you know, Spoelstra being Spoelstra. But, you know, is there a... Because it seems like... I saw something that said that the Denver Nuggets were talent and basketball, like efficiency and the science of the game and all that. And the Miami Heat were like proof of what friendship can do for you. It's just like a product of good vibes and friendship. What is so special about like the composition of like these guys and the relationship they have with each other?
Well, I think it was earned trust over the year, you know. I think things came together for Denver in the sense that like Murray finally was healthy, Jokic still, you know, continuing to get better, even
crazy
from his MVP form, and having like all of these veterans kind of like work in role play. Whereas like the Heat, they looked a mess a lot of times this year, and they dealt with a lot of injuries, obviously, as every team did. But it seemed like they just developed trust. Like even look at like a guy like Duncan Robinson, who was completely out of the lineup. And he's the one who like pretty much had the celebration to put the Celtics to bed in game 7. It's like, okay, Duncan, I see you. Where he was like, you know, trying to listen to the quieted Boston Garden crowd.
Duncan was podcasting more than he was playing.
Yeah. But that, so I think that also speaks to Spo in just his ability to be such a motivator and get the best out of his guys and have his guys be understanding, like even Kyle Lowry, going to the bench, you know, like coming off of the bench in February and having a guy who was a perennial starter, or, you know, the all-time greatest Raptor, and still like a leader on this team, come off the bench and know the importance of that and have guys respect And I'm tired. Like if I hear just the conversation about the undrafted guys anymore. Did we establish this already? Did you know that?
Do
you know they have 7 undrafted players?
Oh, wow.
So as a storyline person, I get why we went hard in the paint with that. Okay. But we all know now. Okay.
Oh, so the first 3 rounds, it was cool.
Let's just not refer to them as that. They're now they're actual NBA players, you know, who like deserve to be here. So I think it's like it was a great storyline. I understand, as someone who, you know, like that's pretty much my sole job is to feed stories like that, backstories of players. But at this point now, give those guys the respect that they deserve. I think I think it's an interesting point to try to figure out what they're going to do with Tyler Hero. You know, because I think that was one of the issues for them during the year, with Tyler oftentimes being the team's leading scorer, and what that meant for the dynamic of Jimmy and the rest of the guys. So, I mean, I guess reports are that he could return for Game 3. You know, likely I would think Spo would bring him off the bench. You know, but we'll see. I think they're just an example of a team that grew together and has built trust, and they're all just operating with great communication. I just feel like this team communicates really well, and it starts with Spo. And this is not just like a Spo love fest, but he is a master communicator, and oftentimes successful businesses, successful organizations, it comes down to good communication where people are all on the same page and know what is needed of them and know how they can perform to their best ability. And that's just what I observe from this Heat team, that they just have great communication skills and everyone's on the same page.
Yeah. And, you know, I think we were talking about how this is essentially 2 no drama teams, right? I think that the quickest story to rise up and also dissolve at such an insane pace was there was a blowout on the Heat bench between Jimmy and UD and Spo. And it was like, oh, Heat bench get heated at each other. And then like,
That was last year, right?
And in the weirdest way, which almost never happens in sports media these days, in less than one cycle, in less than 24 hours, it was no longer a story, because that's just part of their DNA, is just how, I guess, frank they are with each other, how honest they are with each other, to an extreme. And, you know, it's obviously taken them this far. It's going to be very, very interesting to see where that takes them against what's looking like an all-time playoff performance from Nikola Jokic and the Denver Nuggets.
See, we spent most of the time talking about the Heat. Again, the Nuggets get no love. I think they'll get love at the end of the season. I think they're gonna win.
I'm pretty sure that Coach Malone, there's going to be a lot of Jokic talk. There's going to be a lot of Jamal Murray talk. There's going to be a lot of Aaron Gordon talk, as there should be, because he is having an incredible playoff run. Mm-hmm. Played incredible against the Lakers. And TikTok's favorite, Michael Porter Jr. There are TikTok accounts dedicated to Michael Porter Jr.
I didn't know he was so hot on TikTok.
Just catching and shooting. They're like, here he comes again. Wait, did he pass the ball?
I mean,
that man loves the basket, and as he should. It's one of the prettiest jump shots.
He does have a pure-looking shot.
Very pure. At 6'10", it's insane. But yeah, Nuggets Heat. Super excited for the finals. Super excited for
and
our
there's
guy.
Drama. We talk about no drama with these two teams. There's drama between these teams. Remember.
Remember the photo?
The picture of the whole Heat team waiting for the Nuggets in the hallway?
We didn't even get to that.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping there's give me some excitement between these two teams. I just hope the Heat have some fight left in the tank, because it's been a long
Jimmy,
run for them.
Jimmy and the Jokic brothers chirping.
Oh yeah. Oh. Even Kyle. Remember? Kyle had issues too.
Yeah. Kyle, like the petty king.
The
Jimmy
amount
Butler?
Of charges Kyle is about to take in this series.
Oh, that. The petty king, Jimmy Butler, gesturing and chirping over to the Jokic brothers, who were ready to pick a fight with Jack Nicholson just a few weeks ago.
Yes,
I think they're just waiting for someone to provoke them so that they could cheer their brother on.
Yeah.
I don't think that... I was about to say, Nikola Jokic is almost universally loved in the NBA, except by the Miami Heat and the Morris Twins.
Yes, who are... Neither are on the team anymore. But that's not, you know, forget those details.
Yeah, I think that Udonis Haslam or Eric Spoelstra FaceTimes the Morris Twins before game one just to remotivate his guys.
Yes.
It's going to be an incredible finals. I can't wait. I'm super excited for, you know, all the stories that we're going to unearth and as they continue to unfold. Before I let you go, what's one off-season story that you're really looking at? Coaching carousel is one thing.
Free agency,
trade.
Yeah, who's going to be the new Suns head coach? Like, people are just, they don't want to coach Kevin Durant and Devin Booker.
I know. I was like, and then Nick Nurse just like withdrawing his name from the Milwaukee thing. It's like, no.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm choosing to coach Joel. And I don't know if there was just kind of conversation with his, you know, assistant who took over for the Bucks, Adrian Griffith. If that was kind of like an agreement, or you take the Bucks, I'll take the Sixers.
All right, I'll see you. I'll see you, buddy. I'm gonna leave this one for you.
Break.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess the two spots I was really most interested in kind of filled. I'm interested in seeing what happens with Dame. You know, what happens with Jaylen Brown, what happens in free agency, all of that. I'm not that intrigued with LeBron. I think he's
back.
He's back.
Yeah. So. I don't think he helps. So. So there you go, folks. That's a little finals primer for all of you. Enjoy the finals. We'll check in on this podcast again at some point, try to get a couple of our other friends on here. We'll try to convince Cassidy to come back on here at some point in the finals. I'm off to go watch The Town for the seventh time this week.
You're trying to go to Cancun too, huh?
Oh, I'm trying to Missoula it. I'm like, we're the same age. He's an NBA head coach. I love that movie. Ben Affleck does no wrong for me. And I'm like, maybe I'm just not watching The Town enough. I want to get to Joe Mazzulla.
Another podcast. I'm going to tell you all the quirks of Joe Mazzulla that I've heard this year. If you really want to be like him, you need to start and pick up jiu-jitsu. That's his real love.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It all makes sense.
That's for another pod. And maybe episode 2 of Hoops Paradise, wherever you get your podcast.
Season 2. Let's make it happen. I heart Cassidy Humbert, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for doing this, Cassidy.
I want a million lives. Yeah. I want a billion profits when all that I got is a villainous mind. I keep a real in the pocket while you hear the venomous lies. I do not speak like a prophet because I got a million styles. Let's see what's really inside. Pulling over in the whip, flying out another trip.